following presentation is a production of A Word from the Lord with Archbishop Foley Beach. But before we get started with today's program, here is a special feature from last week's program.
And this is the confidence we found toward Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we've asked of Him. We love it when we see a yes. The person's healed. The test is passed. The job is acquired. Or the bill is paid. The answer is clear. And the peace of the Lord is just evident. And the Spirit bears witness to our spirit that we indeed have what we've asked. We love it when that happens. Numerous times I've seen the Lord provide money out of what seemed like air when our family had a need. We've always given our tithe to the Lord. That is His first 10%, the first 10% of our earnings that He promises, well, if we do that, that He'd provide for the rest of our needs. And many times throughout the years, I've prayed something like this: Father, You've told us in Your word that You'll supply all our needs according to Your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Father, we have this need and whatever it might be, and we need You to provide. And I know that You can do exceedingly beyond all that I can ever ask or imagine. And without telling anyone what the need was, He's always provided. God wants to say yes to your prayers, but you have to ask Him. Now, I do not understand, and I'll be honest with you, I don't understand this biblical principle of the kingdom of God, but only that it is a principle, and that is we have to ask. Your Father knows your needs before you ask Him, Jesus said in Matthew 6:8, but we have to ask. James 4:2 says, you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly or to spend it on your own passions. We need to ask. Ask, He says, and it will be given. It's like God has His hands ready to bless us and to help us, but it's like they're tied back, and He can't until we ask. So God will answer no, God will answer yes, and sometimes God will answer wait. Sometimes, many times, we have to wait for God's answer. Now, we Americans don't like to wait. We have instant everything. Instant breakfast, instant coffee, instant shopping, instant deposits and withdrawals from the bank. I don't know if some of you can remember the old days when we actually had to go into the bank, wait in line, fill out a deposit slip, sign our name, and show our ID. Remember those days? And now we have drive-through banking, internet banking with our smartphones. And we can even withdraw money from our account by buying groceries. All this to say that we Americans are not very patient. And our impatience and creativity, as bad as that can be, has actually helped us come up with some amazing inventions to help us save time. I remember as a child, I loved taking pictures. And I had a camera, but you had to put rolls of film in it. And I don't know if you remember those times. You had rolls of films and might have 12 or 24 pictures on it. And what you'd have to do is once you'd taken all your pictures, you'd roll it up, put it in a little thing, and you'd drive to the drugstore. And at the drugstore, they'd put it in a little sack and then they'd mail it off. And then 3 or 4 days later, maybe a week later, it would come back. And then you had to pay for it on top of that. Well, now I can just take a picture with my phone. And if I like it, I can post it on the internet, I can print it on my printer, or I can text it to my wife, all in a matter of minutes. Well, answers to prayer do not always occur this way. Father, as we open Your word, I ask that You'd come in the power of Your spirit. Come, be our teacher. Help us to hear from You this day what You want us to hear and apply in our lives what You want us to apply. Come, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So Psalm 42, verse 5 says this: why are you downcast, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. We find ourselves in very challenging times. Here in the U.S., we are in the midst of a contentious election season with highly divided and cantankerous elections all over the nation. Discourse has gotten so bad that people cannot discuss their opinions from fear of losing friendships and even jobs because of their positions. The cancel culture mentality seemingly has permeated all aspects of the culture. It says, you know, if I don't agree with you 100%, then you write me off. And this has affected family friendships, relationships, work environments, and sadly, it's even affected the church. Added to this are the cultural calls for justice. Justice for those killed by police officers with the use of unlawful force. Justice for over 1,000 police officers who have been wounded and some killed since the beginning of May. Justice for all those who have lost their businesses or had them burned down by looters and violent protesters. And justice for those who have been killed because of racial hatred. This summer, we've seen hurricanes, and actually this fall, we've seen hurricanes bringing destruction to hundreds and thousands of homes and businesses. And even now, we still have wildfires raging in California, Oregon, and Washington State, burning and destroying millions of acres of land. And added to this, we're still in the midst of a worldwide pandemic because of COVID-19. Over 2,000 U.S. citizens have died so far. Millions have contracted the virus, and although the recovery rate for those without pre-existing conditions is at 99%, unless you're over 70, and that recovery rate is 95%, but for those who have pre-existing conditions, it can be deadly. Fear, isolation, loneliness, anger, frustration, drug and alcohol abuse, domestic violence, and suicide have all skyrocketed as people all over the nation have been shut in, restricted by their activities. Many have lost their jobs, and many have lost their places to live. This pandemic literally has changed our whole way of living. Even now, as we gather as a church, it's affected how we worship the Lord together. Fortunately, this is not the first pandemic the world has known, and it's not the worst pandemic the world has known. We will get through this in time. All this to say is that we're living in very challenging times. My intent this morning is not to critique all these major challenges North America is now facing, but to speak to what these things have seemingly done to us. As followers of Jesus Christ, we know that none of this has taken God by surprise. And yet so many of us are discouraged, downcast, extremely anxious, fearful, and depressed. Too many of us have lost our hope. As Proverbs 13:5 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Without hope, we are like ships sailing without a harbor. Without hope, we are like smartphones without the internet. Without hope, we find ourselves in a never-ending cycle of discouragement, disappointment, and even depression. God wants us to have hope in this ever-changing world. As Psalm 42 says twice, and then it repeats it again in Psalm 43, why are you downcast, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Now, hope is the anticipation of a good future. It's having faith. It's believing God is working out his purposes in my life and in the world. Let me say that again. Hope is the anticipation of a good future. It's having faith. It's believing that God is working out his purposes in the world and in my life. The basis of our hope is God, the Lord himself, and what he's done in Jesus Christ and his promises from the Word of God. Proverbs 10:28 says, the hope of the righteous brings joy. Proverbs 23:18 says, surely there is a future and your hope will not be cut off. Now, there are many things that we could say about God's hope. And actually, this is the fourth sermon that I'm preaching about God's hope in an ever-changing world. In week one, I shared that God gives us hope for eternal life. That is, that after we die, after we leave these mortal bodies, that God promises followers eternal life. And this can be summed up in John 3:16, which probably most of us could quote. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should what? Not perish, but have eternal life. This is incredible hope that God gives us. Week two, I shared that God gives us hope in His abiding presence. That is, that as followers of Jesus, God promises that He will be with us wherever we are and whatever we are facing. That by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that God is with us and in us, whether we realize it or not. And this can be summed up by Hebrews 13:5, which says, when Jesus says, I will never leave you or forsake you. This is incredible hope for the follower of Jesus. In week three, I shared about that God gives us hope in answering our prayers. That God gives us access to Him and so we can talk to Him about what we're going through. It's summarized by Jesus in Matthew 7:7 when He says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. The one who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks it will be open. God always answers us. It may be a no, it may be a yes, or it may be wait. This is incredible hope that God gives us. Well, this morning I'd like to share that God gives us hope in His unchanging promises in His Word. And I actually struggled with the title of this sermon because it sounds better to say God gives us hope in the unchanging promises of His Word. But I decided on God gives us hope in His unchanging promises of His Word because I want you to hear they're His promises. God has given us the Word, the Bible, and it's filled with hundreds of promises from Him. And these promises are filled with hope. And actually, isn't that what a promise is? It's a declaration or a statement about what someone will say or do in the future. Promises are filled with hope. My life verse, I think, demonstrates this. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. This is a Bible promise filled with hope, that if a person will trust in the Lord with their whole self, not depend solely on their own understanding and their own thinking, but to seek to know the Lord in all your ways, that what? That He will guide your way. He will guide your path. He will work in your life and make the path walkable in your situation. I could do a whole sermon just on that one verse. But there are so many verses that remind us of this. We just heard Joshua 1:8 read. The book of the law shall not, or this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do all according to what is written in it. Then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. His Word is trustworthy. His Word is reliable. His Word brings us hope for a good future. 2 Timothy 3:16 says this, all Scripture is breathed out by God, or inspired, and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man or the woman of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. He says here, all Scripture, not just our favorite parts, from God, it's inspired by Him, breathed out by the Holy Spirit to the authors of the Bible, and is profitable for teaching, learning the ways of God, learning how to know Him, learning about faith, learning about the life and ministry of Jesus. It's profitable for teaching. It's profitable for reproof, where we've gone wrong, that we've sinned, how we've sinned. It tells us what's right and what's wrong in our life. This is why some people don't want to read the Bible or study it. They don't like to be told they're wrong, that they've sinned. But the Scriptures just don't tell us where we've messed up. They don't just reprove us. He goes on to say, it's profitable for correction. Not only have we been told that we've been wrong, but then we're told how to make things right, how to get on the right path, how to correct my ways. And then he says it's profitable for training in righteousness. How does one live a godly life? How does one please the Lord? How does one walk in the ways of God? How does one integrate God's ways into my own life? The Scriptures are powerful when we allow them into our lives and begin to put them into practice and obey the commandments of God and the principles in His Word. Now, the Scriptures give us hope because they contain the promises of God. They promise eternal life for those who believe in Jesus. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And Romans 8:24 says, "For in this hope we were saved." Now, hope that is not seen is not hope. For who hopes in what he sees? But if we hope in what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. The scriptures promise God's Spirit helps us in our weakness. In Romans 8:26, Paul writes, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groaning too deep for words." They promise that God is working out all things and all our circumstances for good. Romans 8:28 says, "For we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose." They promise that no one can separate us from the love of God. In Romans 8:35, "Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or the sword?" No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Not only can no one separate us from the love of God, he goes on to say in this passage that nothing can ever separate us from those who follow God, from God's love. Romans 8:38 says this, "For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." They promise God's presence will be with us. In Joshua 1:9, we just heard that read a minute ago. "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." They promise forgiveness of our sins. John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." They promise to answer our prayers. And I thought I would use this passage from Luke chapter 11, verse 5. Jesus was asked about prayer, and he gives a parable. He says, "And he said to them, which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are in bed with me. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though, he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend. Yet because of his perseverance, he will rise and give him whatever he asks. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find, and knock, and the door will be opened to you." He promises to answer our prayers. They also promise wisdom from God. Oh, how many times I've prayed this. James chapter 1, verse 5, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him." Another promise that we often overlook. They promise that God's heart is in reaching people for salvation. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says this, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." And Paul says it like this in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. "This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth." They also promise God's strength. Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through him who gives me strength," meaning the Lord. They promise God's provision for our needs. Philippians 4:19 says, "My God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." As someone said, it's all our needs, not all our greeds, he promises. They promise God's continual work in our lives. Philippians 1, chapter 1, verse 6, And I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Now, on and on we could go about the promises of God in his word to us as followers of Jesus Christ. God has given us his word, the Bible, the scriptures, that we might understand and know his ways, and in doing so, receive his blessings in and through our lives. Hear the words of the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 1. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you. And the Lord spoke to the elders in Jeremiah's day, Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for welfare and not evil, to give you a future and to give you hope." And then one of my favorites is Lamentations chapter 3, verse 31. Jeremiah writes, "But I call to mind and therefore have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him." Brothers and sisters, in the times in which we live, as with any time, God wants you to have this hope within you. He doesn't want you fretting, anxious, and worried about where he is in your life. He wants you to live in peace and joy and in his love. He wants you to have his hope. Sadly, too many of us don't have this hope. We're discouraged, depressed, or isolated. We feel alone. Many of us feel desperate. Hear the words of some of the psalmist as he addresses this in many ways. Psalm 33, verse 18. "Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love, that he may deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine." Psalm 62, verse 5. "For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from him. He's my only rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken." Psalm 71, verse 5. "For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord." Psalm 71, verse 14. "But I will hope continually, and I will praise you yet more and more, O Lord." Psalm 119, verse 47. "I will rise before dawn and cry for help. I hope in your words." Brothers and sisters, read the scriptures, study the scriptures, and find promises in his word which apply to your life. Now make sure you understand the context. I know I've been throwing scripture after scripture out of you, and you could say, No, I understand the context. I know that it's appropriate to share those. Understand the context to make sure you're interpreting it correctly. Then take that scripture and memorize it and apply it in your life and call on it and use it. God wants you to live in his hope, and his word is filled with his promises that bring so much hope. So here again the words of Psalm 42, verse 5. "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God." Let us pray. And as we pray, I want you to hear the words of the Apostle Paul from Romans chapter 15, verse 13. "May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope." And this is our prayer in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.
Preceding was a presentation of A Word from the Lord with Archbishop Foley Beach. For more information on the program, visit awftl.org. That's awftl.org. A Word from the Lord is made possible through prayers and financial support from our listeners and from our supporters. And until next time, it is our prayer that you would be seeking a word from the Lord.